Chapter 14. Edeni's mouth dropped open, and a soft gasp whistled up her throat like a death rattle. Her eyes widened, but just as suddenly her lips smashed together, her gaze hardened, and her hands clenched into fists at her sides. Lucien's face went deathly pale. His already hazy eyes glossed over even more and shined in the overhead lights. It was clear that he hadn't realized what they were doing was treason, and if someone found out, he could be prosecuted as an accessory. "Isn't it funny? You were always the one hounding me, constantly breathing down my neck, a real monkey on my back. And yet, here we are. I want to ask, how could you trust Lucien not to tell anyone, though? He may be under your patronage, but he still has that information, and if he really wanted to, he could run to the Queen and snitch. How are you keeping this information safe with Lucien?" Edeni's lips twisted. Her face turned a sickly green, but not a word escaped her lips. I glanced over at Lucien, and the poor man looked as if he were about to burst a blood vessel. His eyes bulged out, the veins in them were bloodshot, and his puffed cheeks flamed scarlet. The scientist grunted, groaned, and shouted at the top of his lungs.
"I'm monitored 24/7, Lucien screamed. "There are strange metal contraptions in my room that I didn't build. I think they're listening devices or some sort of mechanical recorder. If I leave the duchy, people follow me. Not just servants, but other aristocrats. I tried to confront them, but when I searched for them, they disappeared through the crowd. But that was just the beginning when the Duchess first hired me. Now I'm locked in my room at 8 p.m. sharp. I'm only let out to go to the bathroom, to dinner, or the laboratory, and even then I'm locked in those rooms too. The Duchess forced me to craft a tracking device so she knows where I am at all times."
The blonde man bent down, lifted his pant leg, and showed me a small black metal box strapped around his ankle by a steel bracelet. A metal lock jangled from the end, and as I intensely stared at it, a red illumination blinked from inside of it with a soft, almost inaudible beep.
"By science! How could you allow her to do such a thing? You let her put that thing on you? It's part of my contract. I didn't read it all the way through. It was the damn paperwork, and I didn't see it until after she strapped me in. She also put a clause in there that under no circumstances was I allowed to escape her patronage by signing a consort contract with another woman."
"Well, at least you learned from that one," I chuckled. "Lucien, I may not like you, but I am very sorry you're going through this. I may try to figure out a way to get you out of it. But from the last time I spoke to you, you didn't seem to mind being in the Duchess's company." Edeni didn't seem to realize that the truth serum didn't affect her abilities at all, and if she really wanted to, she could attack me at this very moment. I kept on my best behavior and didn't taunt her too much. All of us knew it was illegal for her to kill another woman's consort, but not only that, we were at a party filled with other nobles. If something were to happen to me, they'd find us and then grab her away to the nearest jail. When I glanced over at her, the Duchess's eyes slashed into me, and it was clear she understood what was going on but wouldn't act on it. Another confirmation that she had feelings for me.
"I've admired the Duchess for a very long time," the scientist admitted. "And I would like it very much if she accepted me as her soulmate. I am sure if I were her consort, she would bear a beautiful, charming, and intelligent daughter that would bring forward many advances in the scientific community."
Edeni's violet eyes swiveled to the scientist, her mouth dropped open, and the Duchess immediately took a swift step away from him. I already knew that with a dose of this size, they wouldn't remember any of this by morning, hell, maybe even an hour after it wore off. But all of this information was so shocking, I didn't know how to take it all in, let alone process it. I wanted to laugh. I wanted so badly to think every word that had just spilled out of their mouths was a joke. But I couldn't, not when the truth serum was in full effect.
"What in the world would make you say something like that? What a horrible notion! to even think that I would entertain accepting you into my breeding program. Asinine! How you have the gall to bring it up in front of me! Do you know where the men who come from my breeding program come from? All the way from the east across the ocean in Gazalia. Not only that, Lucian, I never use the same brute twice, or a brute that I'm acquainted with. You are absolutely out of the question.
But you're in love with Charles,
the scientist squealed.
You want his seed in your womb? How can you say such a thing like that and then reject me? I know he's handsomer and more talented than I am, but come on!
Ugh, you just stated very compelling reasons, you fool.
Edeny groaned as she rolled her eyes.
But yet, I want Charles for who he is inside. I didn't fall in love with him because he's so dashing and handsome. I fell in love with him by accident.
It was time to go. Edeny was able to speak more freely, so that meant that her dose of truth serum was starting to wear off. Within a few minutes of it leaving her system, the Duchess would get very tired to the point of exhaustion and probably pass out. I had to get her and Lucian out of this room, down the hall, and back to the ballroom before they started swaying on their feet like a pair of drunkards. I think it's time that we leave. I've gotten all the information that I needed from the two of you. I don't know about you, Lucian, but Edeny's dose is starting to wear off. I have about 3 or 4 minutes before the after effects kick in. Let's get you out of this room. Wouldn't want Josephine or one of her servants to find your unconscious bodies in the morning.
Unconscious? Lucian gasped. What is that supposed to mean?
Ha! Don't worry about it. I'm sure that you'll be fine. It won't kill you. Or, at least, I don't think it will.
What?
The scientist shouted.
Charles, about what I said, it's the truth. Even now as I look at you, I feel those things all over again. Even if my stomach is roiling in disgust, I can't deny them anymore. Please, will you come back to me? Can I buy your contract back from...
Edeny, I stated, came around both of them, placed my hands on their shoulders, and steered them toward the door. I don't know how to answer that. How do you expect me to react? I've spent the last year being terrified of you, and then you drop a surprise on me like this? I don't know what to say or think. I could barely look at you without feeling that same old terrified reaction I did before. And now you throw all of these things at me? I'm absolutely shocked. I have no other way to put it. All of my life, women around me have hated my sex. And let me tell you, they never hid it. You never did either. And I saw it on so many occasions that I've lost count. Now you want to tell me that you've been in love with me this entire time? I'm allowed to be a little confused and shocked, don't you think?
So, you're rejecting me?
I don't understand. You tried to ruin my life. You tried to evict me from my home. Not only that, but when I found a clause to keep me there, you tried to sell the manor out from underneath me. When you finally didn't have anything on me, you tried to frame me for murder. Edeny, why would you do all of those things if you loved me? That's not love. You may not know what it is because you've never experienced it, but it certainly is not love.
If I can't have you, no one else will, especially not your puny mistress. I may not be the woman who loves you, but I will be the woman who kills you.
You've tried. Just give it up, Edeny. Edeny believed that she would be the one to kill me, but I would never let that happen. I had too much to live for. I may have created my women, built them from absolutely nothing, but they were the ones who unexpectedly came into my life and changed it. When I worked for Edeny, I was a coward, hiding in my laboratory, waiting for the Duchess to arrive and squeeze the life out of me. But I was a different man now. I may have been a brute, but I managed to give myself some power over the aristocrats, and I wasn't going to let it go.
How can you be so confused about your feelings? What I said couldn't have been so shocking. What is happening? The room is getting all spinny.
Finally, there it is, I breathed. Now, to just get you inside the ballroom without anyone noticing. Edenie's pretty lips parted slowly. The left corner of it drooped down, twitched, and then laid slack. I could tell from the look in her eyes she wanted to snap back with a hateful reply, but physically couldn't. The serum's after-effect seemed to be hitting Lucien harder than the Duchess, though. The poor man's feet dragged against the carpet running down the hall. Drool foamed from his lips, and incoherent words flowed out of his throat. I gripped onto the back of his suit jacket, held him upright, and half-carried him back to the door of the ballroom. The Duchess's head fell, rested against her shoulder, lolled there for a second, rolled back, and then she stared straight into my eyes. I couldn't tell from her expression what she was thinking. Probably not much, since the after-effects were taking over her senses. But I had to wonder, did she feel those things for me? There was no questioning it after she confessed to it under the influence of the truth serum, but it still seemed impossible. I shook my head, cleared those thoughts away, pushed forward, grabbed the door handle tightly in my hand, ripped it open, and then shoved the two of them into the ballroom. Edenie and Lucien stumbled, but I hastily slammed the door closed while watching through the crack of the swinging door. None of the other aristocrats seemed to notice the seemingly drunk Duchess and her scientist. I sighed softly, turned, rested my back against the door, and closed my eyes. I'd learned so much in the last hour, and most of it. No, all of it was utterly appalling. How the Duchess could even think of doing those abominable things to her body was mind-blowing. Yes, I knew that she could do some dastardly things, but to use her own embryos as test subjects for her modified creatures? Not even I, the scientist, doctor, and notorious alchemist, could think of doing those things. I dreaded telling my women about it. I knew it would anger them to the point of violence, but there was nothing we could do about it now, or at least not yet. We'd strike back at the Duchess eventually, but none of her actions affected our family directly, or at all. Why should I care if Edenie wanted to kill the Queen? I'd heard from others and Ryan that the Queen was hundreds of years old. The throne should be passed on to someone else, but maybe someone else other than Edenie. Though I had to admit that if the Duchess had developing feelings for me, would that mean that her views on men were changing too? No, that couldn't be true. Edenie hated men more than any woman I'd ever met. She may have never spoken it aloud, but I'd seen her bring grown men to their knees with the vicious crook of her cane. No other aristocrat had used violence like that on their workers in front of me. I pushed off the door, glanced down each side of the hall, and then trudged down the hall toward the other entrance. It was late. I could tell from the color of the night sky outside of the windows. The party was starting to wind down from the sound of the live orchestra playing, and I wanted nothing more than to go home. No, that was a lie. I wanted my women, and to be surrounded by their overflowing, endless love. If I could, I would have called out to them from the hall, but the music was too loud, and the voices of the aristocrats would have drowned me out. I slid open the door, peeked inside to make sure no one was looking, and then slipped inside. Aristocrats crowded around me, but none of them even glanced in my direction, let alone moved out of my way as I slithered through the crowd. As before, I kept my head low, but used my eyes to scan the crowd as I made my way back to my women. Deeper into the throng, I spied Josephine, and it looked as if she'd still hadn't managed to shake off Killara. The turban-wearing woman threw back her head, cackled annoyingly at the ceiling, grabbed onto the blonde aristocrat's arm, and cuddled up to Josephine's side. The heiress grimaced, sighed, but this time didn't push Killara away. I felt sorry that she had thrown this party just because I mentioned it. We hadn't gotten to talk with her for more than a few moments, but I knew if she allowed me to, I would make it up to her, somehow. Maybe I'd invite her to brunch with Daisy and I. I sighed under my breath as the three of them came into view. Daisy spoke quietly to another aristocrat I'd seen around the city before but never spoken to. Valerie nodded along with the conversation, and Ryan skimmed the crowd with disinterested eyes. Her orange gaze settled on me, and instantly the corners of her lips upturned into a wide, excited grin. I was almost to them when the black-haired beauty nudged Valerie with her elbow, pointed over the feline woman's shoulder, and the ash blonde giggled happily when she saw me. I came to stand at the bear girl's shoulder and smiled down at her.
"I'm very sorry,"
the brunette murmured to the heavily powdered aristocrat woman she was talking to.
But I believe it's time for my cousins and me to return home. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your night. Oh, thank you so much. It was so lovely getting to speak to you for the first time, Miss Browning. I do hope that we can chat again like this. Of course. I'll have to invite you over to the manor for tea sometime. I'll send over a courier with an invitation. I hope to get to speak to you too, Charles. I've heard great things about you.
I hope so too. But as my mistress said, it's time for us to retire back to our manor. The older aristocrat nodded her head to us and then shouldered her way savagely out of sight. Once she was gone, the stunning bear girl sighed out of relief once her golden honey eyes settled on my face, and then all three of them calmly waltzed through the crowd. I wanted to run to them, wrap my arms around them, and pull each of them to my chest, but I knew I couldn't do that in front of all of the other aristocrats. Let's go home. Being around all these aristocrats has drained me.
Drained you? You didn't have to spend close to an hour listening to their boring stories. One woman told us about her brand new hedges with great detail of their color, leaf texture, and placement in her yard. She talked for close to 3 hours. I wanted to pull my hair out. But I didn't, because Daisy spent so much time making my hair look gorgeous.
It wasn't 3 hours. She only talked for maybe 15 minutes.
Well, it felt like 3 hours.
Thank you for taking my time into consideration. I appreciate it. Now, let's get out of here. I didn't want to admit it, but yes, talking to aristocrats is quite boring.
Well, it wasn't all boring. That Kalara woman put on a show.
Oh, good heavens!
The brunette grumbled, threw back her head, and rolled her eyes.
I thought I was going to faint from the shock of it.
What did she try to do? I mean, if it made Daisy react that way, it must have been good.
We moved through the crowd to speak to Josephine more, and that Kalara woman was boasting that she could wear these...
I believe she called them nipple tassels. The proper word for them, or at least the decent ones, are pasties. Women wear them under dresses when they don't want to wear a corset. They cover the nipples so it doesn't show through the fabric.
But that's not the kind that Kalara was talking about. She even described them. They're red and heart-shaped, with these long black tassels that hang down.
And why would she mention this at a party, I grunted, in front of other aristocrats who she knew wouldn't approve?
Wait, there's more. All of the aristocrats around her reacted in disgust because, as Daisy said, they're indecent. I'm not sure why, though. They sound kind of sexy, and I want a pair to wear for you, Charles.
The image of Valerie lounging against the crumpled surface of our bedsheets, wearing nothing but a pair of red, heart-shaped pasties with tassels flashed into my head, and I couldn't deny that it aroused me more than I'd expected. Go on.
She said she could light them on fire!
The feline woman shouted and threw her hands up into the air.
Not only that, but she could swing them around like some sort of performance.
Are you serious? What a strange woman. I can't believe she said all of this in front of Josephine and the other aristocrats.
Well, that's not even the best part. Right as everyone was either glaring her down or backing away in disgust, she started unwrapping her clothing to demonstrate. Josephine screamed, rushed over, and grabbed her hands so tightly I thought she was going to rip them off. I'm honestly surprised that Josephine didn't kick her out then and there.
Like I said, the aristocrats love a show. They crave the drama and intrigue of a mysterious person such as Kalara.
I hate to admit it, but I kind of wish we could have stuck around her for a little longer. She may be obnoxious, gross, and disturbing, but the way she disgusts the other aristocrats is quite hilarious to watch. She makes them so uncomfortable that you would think that she was a brute doing tricks on the ballroom floor.
I feel the same way. When I look at her, I feel icky inside. But the way the other women here look at her, oh, I love it so much. I love seeing them uncomfortable.
Ugh, enough about Kalara. I know the two of you enjoy her antics, but I know that Charles and I are both quite tired. I'd like to head back to the manor.
Oh, sorry, Daisy. We knew that you were tired from having to speak to those women all night. We should have been more considerate.
No. I knew you were excited to tell Charles about everything that happened, so don't worry, my dear sister.
I smiled down at them, nodded toward the door, turned on my heels, and guided them toward the exit. I hated that I couldn't be myself around them when we were in places like this. We weren't equals here, and all of us had to act like it. The halls, foyer, and entryway were empty of women, and only the servants attending to the doors remained. They bowed low to us, swept open the doors, and then tightly closed them behind us. Once we were out into the chilly night air, I leaned my head back, sighed up at the stars, straightened, and then grinned down at my women.
So? What did you learn?
A lot. Some of it, I'm not sure you even want to know.
What do you mean, Charles?
Daisy asked, hurried down the front steps and then waited for us at the bottom.
Did Edeny tell you something bad?
All of it was bad. Every single word of it.
Come on, Charles. You can't leave us hanging like this. We need to know.
I glanced over my shoulder at the doors behind us, came down the stairs and headed toward our wagon with the rest of my women trailing after me. Edeny wants to kill the queen, I stated. But we already suspected that.
And?
Valerie chimed. I learned how they plan to do it. But I'm sure once I tell you, all three of you are going to get very angry.
Go on, Charles. Well, there's nothing we can really do to her now. Or at least yet.
That's what I thought you'd say. They've dropped the idea of creating super soldiers. They're going to use something else.
Witches?
Ryan murmured. They're going to harvest embryos from Edeny, modify them, pump them full of harmful chemicals and potions, and make them into vicious beasts. Use an incubator to speed up the gestation period, and then use them against the queen. Silence fell over all three of my women, and I turned to face them and saw that each of them had stopped dead in their tracks. Valerie's hands covered her mouth in shock. Ryan's eyes widened, and her hands curled into fists, but the most surprising reaction came from Daisy.
She's going to what? Harvest her own embryos? Her own children?
Yes, that's what she told me. She couldn't have lied. The truth serum wouldn't allow it.
That's despicable! Deplorable! Disgusting! Horrendous! Oh, how can such a woman exist?
Daisy's round cheeks flamed red. She huffed angrily, stomped forward with curled fists toward a tree at the edge of the drive, and then knit her fingers in front of her chest. The brunette took a single step forward, raised her knitted hands over her head, and then slammed them down toward the trunk of the tree in a fit of blind rage.
Daisy! Don't!
The bear girl's hands stopped within centimeters of the bark of the tree. A blast of air shot through the forest, and two trees behind it lost all of their leaves in the flurry caused by the brunette. The green and orange leaves skittered against the forest floor in the gale caused by the petite bear girl, and my knees felt weak at the sheer power she held in her tiny body.
This is Josephine's manor. I will not cause damage to any of Josephine's property. I will not cause damage to any of Josephine's property. I will not...
I stepped forward, placed a hand on the brunette's shoulder, turned her toward me, and then took her into my arms. She wasn't crying, but I could tell that what I'd told her had upset her greatly, and I needed to comfort her at this moment. It's all right. We'll figure something out. We'll do something about it.
How? She's going to hurt her own future children. How can we stop her?
We'll figure it out, okay?
I glanced over my shoulder. Valerie and Ryan hurried over and pressed their hands to Daisy's back to comfort her. Daisy took a long inhale of cool night air, relaxed against me, took a shaky breath, and smiled.
Thank you, Charles. I'm just so very stressed and tired. Ready to go home? I know I am.
Ryan and Valerie nodded, took their sister's hands, and helped her up into the driver's seat of our carriage. I offered the two women my hands, got them into the back of the cart, and then hopped into the seat next to Daisy. Then I guided the horses out of the spot, turned around in the drive, and then trundled down the road toward home. We were just coming around the lake, hearing the spot with the lights and singing when Valerie spoke again.
Oh, Charles! We found out what's in Josephine's lake!
Really? What is it?
We overheard Josephine talking to another group of aristocrats. She said that she's been having a tough time with Nixes. She also said that she got rid of most of them, but one won't leave, and it's really frustrating for her. Apparently, she has a rare moss that grows in this lake, and the Nyx keeps eating it.
Just like Daisy said! You're so smart, Daisy!
Why don't we stop and take a look? I offered. If Josephine is having a problem with them, maybe we should catch it for her and then take it home.
Ooh, it could be used for our next sister. It's a magical beast, after all.
The ash blonde launched herself out of the back of the wagon, stumbled down the grassy embankment, and reached around her back for the zipper of her dress.
What are you doing? Don't get undressed here.
No one's around. Plus, no one can get it from the shore. I'm going to have to wade through the water and catch it. Charles, do you have a cage I can use?
Yes. Here's the one we used for the imp. I took it out of the wagon, but put it back later, just in case, for times like this.
Fantastic! Hand it over to me.
The cat girl cheered. Valerie struggled out of her dress, slipped off her mask, stood in her underwear, and handed over the clothing to a displeased-looking Daisy.
I suppose I can take care of these.
The brunette took them from her, hung them over the side of the wagon, and then rushed to the edge of the embankment.
I'll help.
Ryan took the box from me, raced to her feline sister, and then handed over the heavy metal box.
There it is!
The feline girl grinned as she pointed at the pond.
Here I go! Ryan, hold on to my tail. When I say pull, I want you to yank me back as fast as you can.
What if I hurt you? I don't want to injure you by pulling too hard.
Well, don't worry, it won't. Charles pulls on my tail or my ear sometimes when we have sex, and it doesn't hurt me. I actually really like it.
Well, I hardly think that... I began to respond.
Ooh, we'll have to try that next time, Charles. Go ahead, Valerie. I'll do as you asked.
I came to stand next to Daisy at the edge of the embankment. The brunette held her clasped hands to her chest, but kept her golden eyes glued to her sister. Even though Valerie's tail was constrained, the tip of it twitched with excitement, and her ears laid flat against her head as she concentrated. The feline woman's white lacy panties stuck against her like a second skin as she waded in deeper. She slowed as she neared the luminescence and hunkered down closer to the water's surface.
All right, here I go. Let's hope this works.
Please be careful,
the stunning brunette gasped. Valerie leapt forward with the metal box held tightly over her head. She smashed it against the surface, swept it through the water, and then brought it back up with an enormous splash. The feline woman held the box close to her chest, peered into the bubbling water, gasped, and then shouted back to Ryan.
Pull! I got it!
In one swift movement, Ryan yanked back on Valerie's tail. The ash blonde snapped the box shut, held it to her chest, and scooted backward through the water. I opened my mouth to shout congratulations, but a sudden, familiar voice called out to us.
Charles?
Josephine gasped.
What? What are you doing? What is she doing? Wait, is that a tail?